You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I know that God has impressed this word in my spirit, on my mind, in my heart. He's been speaking to me through the night, and so I just want to pray before we start. Holy Spirit, you bring this word this morning. You seal it, cement it into people's hearts. Your word is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it meet its target. Let it meet people's conditions. Let it meet people's minds this morning, that you can bring your transforming power into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And together we say, amen. Well, the title of my message this morning is In the Pressing. You know when you're going to be in the pressing of God, in the pressing. And we find, in the pressing, we find the woman with the issue of blood. There was a condition pressing on her, but there was another pressing about to take place. In the pressing, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we find the cross is pressing upon him. And in the pressing, we find Jacob wrestling to receive a new trajectory that God was pressing upon his life. What does it mean when God's purpose is pressing upon your life? It means a move of God that is so monumental, it will require your full attention. It demands immediate action. It means everything of yourself will be required that you fall into it. It will press upon your mind, it'll press upon your heart and everything that is within you. Pressing in the Greek is the Greek word epi or pipto. It means to embrace with affection or aggressively chase like a hunter pursuing a catch until they possess it. It's in the pressing that God himself will encounter you. In the pressing, you will come face to face, close enough to hear the course he has for your life. But the risk we all face in the pressing is not being distracted by the enemy. To receive courage to change our course. And in this first story, we see the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Let's read together. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "No, somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Daughter, your faith, your reach, your desperation has healed you. Now be restored and go in peace. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been so desperate? Are you presently in pursuit of only what you know Jesus can do? She was desperate enough to cross the line of everything that was pressing against her. And because of the aggressive chase, she came face to face with Jesus. Face to face with his words, what she could never have heard at a distance, but only what she could understand up close. Instantly healed. And because she had the courage to answer his question with raw truth, her identity was restored, and no longer was she isolated, but in the very position God placed her to be and the freedom she deserved to receive. When Mark talks about this story in Mark chapter 5, he makes it clear that this woman had tried everything and had gone to every available doctor and was worse instead of better. You know, according to Jewish law and tradition, there were 11 different cures for this particular condition. It was a very common condition with women in the land. And some of them were tonics and astringents, which may have well have been effective, but others were superstitions. One was to carry the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen bag in summer, in a cotton bag in winter. And another one was to carry about a grain of barley, which had to be found in the waist of a female donkey. And if you were to carry this around or carry the bag around, superstition says that you would be cured. You see, when you're desperate, you'll try anything, but nothing was working. Mark says she tried everything, nothing worked. In fact, she was worse. Sometimes we need to know when to change course and look to the only one who can answer our deep fears. Pressing situations require desperate responses. Pressing situations require desperate responses. Are you desperate for your condition to change and transformation to begin? What is a pressing action? It means to aggressively chase, like a hunter pursuing a catch until they possess it. If you're enduring some critical situations right now that need a word from God alone, it's time to aggressively pursue Jesus until you possess your word. Are you desperate? A few years ago, I had a pressing migraine that made me so desperate for relief. It was a couple of years ago when I felt like a knife was continually being shoved into my head. And I've had headaches before, but this was different. This was so much stronger and I was in so much pain. And I asked my husband to take me to the emergency, where I proceeded to sit there for the next 5 to 6 hours in agony because I wasn't deemed as high priority. Because I wasn't deemed as high priority, no immediate action was given. There was so much commotion all around me, but no one could see the pain I was in. I would have taken anything because the pain was so great. Have you ever been so desperate? Have you ever been low priority? The enemy wants you to think that you are not worthy to receive all that God has for you. But it is a lie. To God, you are high priority. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Today, God needs you to know in your spirit that you are his high priority. Point number one, don't let the enemy's interpretation distract you from God's revelation. Don't let the enemy's interpretation distract you from receiving God's revelation of truth for your life. Her journey to get to Jesus was going to be monumental, and the temptation we all face is to shortcut the process. But the cost is the cost. Human effort partnering with God's miracle power, because faith without works is dead. For this woman, there was no shortcut to the process, because if she was going to reach Jesus, she would have to go through all the obstacles and all that the enemy would bring. You have to have courage to change your course. And the thing that made this woman desperate is that there was no cure and no other option. If what you're praying for has no cure and there is no other option than God, you're going to have to push through every obstacle with the Spirit of God, because as soon as you pursue Jesus, the devil is going to pursue you. For this woman, there were many obstacles. The obstacle of the crowd. There was a crowd, and it would quickly be a sea of cruelty if anyone was to discover who she was and the condition she was carrying. But in her pursuit, even she had to leave her condition aside for the sake of the pursuit. There are moments when you need to not talk about your condition, but focus on Jesus and speak about only what he can do. No one saw her or her great need in that crowd, and she certainly didn't know anyone who could get her close to Jesus. But it's not who you know, it's whose you are. This encounter was set in place. It's in the pressing of commotion that the devil wants you to be distracted. When you're sidetracked, fear can rise and fear calls you to shrink back. Complacency sets in quickly and speaks to you that it's too hard, it's too great, it's too overwhelming. This mountain is too big to get over. But if you see it from the right position, from God's perspective, when all the obstacles are pressing on you, you will call on His strength and His power. His Spirit will break you into His presence until you are face to face with Jesus. Not only was there an obstacle of the crowd, there was an obstacle of culture and opinion. Her condition ostracized her, isolated her to only see what she might have, but never to hold in reality. She was a woman unclean by her condition of bleeding that she had experiencing now for 12 years, never to be touched or to reach and touch another human being. But the very confinement that law and culture had put on her, she used to touch the Son of God. Jesus in the crowd, even though all the people were pressing around him, he declared that someone had touched him. Law confines, but grace releases freedom. What culture used to restrict, God received to restore. She was completely healed, and Jesus gave her the highest honor of calling her daughter. When God has called you to pursue him, you're going to have to travel light and fix your mind on him so you can hear what the Spirit is saying. To know what to lay a hold of, but what to let go of. If you're going to make your way through the obstacles, your hands need to be free so that in that critical moment of timing, you can reach out and touch what you are meant to receive. What did she have? What did this woman have? She had a mind that was fixed on Jesus. If I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just reach Jesus, what the enemy wants to do is distract you from Jesus at any cost. Your interpretation of the enemy's distractions can get in the way of God's revelation. You have to resolve the inner conflict that is telling you to shrink back and take authority over it so you can press forward to touch Jesus. And one of the greatest keys that will bring strength to your pursuit of God is to fix your mind. Philippians 4, 8 to 9 says it like this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, in my own present course in my life at this moment, I've had to come to the place where I won't let any distraction feed my soul. When I fix my mind and speak his words, I build up my inner spirit. Because the pursuit, the need, the condition is too great for me to get stuck by the distractions of the enemy. But it's my love for him. And how did I come to this place? You know, I was reading in Psalms, David's poetry that he expressed to God. And as I was reading the Psalms and hearing David's poetic love towards his father, it unlocked something in my spirit this week. That every single distraction that would try and come into my mind, every distraction that would try and come words and breathe power into my life, I thought, I'm not going to let the enemy have any words that's a distraction to my pursuit in God. And so I was painting this week. We're renovating a house at the moment. And we just sprayed a whole room, or Lee had sprayed a whole room, and I was admiring it. And then all the drips started to come. We'd done everything right. We checked the nozzle and there's drips everywhere. And in those moments, are my words going to be like heaven's poetry, or are they going to be words from my soul of complaint and negativity? I'm going to look to every situation to give poetry to my God, because I want God to have all of my heart and the devil to have nothing. I can't afford to get stuck, because there's a condition that needs to be taken care of in my life. Let your words be like heaven's poetry to God for your love for Him. There is a word God has for you where your pursuit of Him will bring you face to face, where the distance, the isolation you once felt will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. He will heal you. He will restore you to right standing of who He created you to be. In the pressing is His presence. Next, we find Jesus in the garden. In Luke chapter 22 to 39 to 46, Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane. Verse 39, Jesus left the upper room with His disciples, and as was His habit, went to the Mount of Olives, His place of secret prayer. Then He told the apostles, keep praying for strength to be spared from the severe test of your faith that is about to come. Then He withdrew from there a short distance to be alone. Kneeling down, He prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup of agony away from me, but no matter what, Your will must be mine. Jesus called for an angel of glory to strengthen Him, and the angel appeared. He prayed even more passionately, like one being sacrificed, until He was in such intense agony of spirit that His sweat became drops of blood dripping onto the ground. When Jesus finished praying, He got up and went to His disciples and found them all asleep, for they were exhausted and overwhelmed with sorrow. Why are you sleeping? Jesus asked them. You need to be alert and pray for the strength to endure the great temptation. With the cross before Him, Jesus withdrew to be alone. There are some things you can only do alone with God. The place of encounter when it's just you and Him. It's in this place where you understand the pressing of God's calling and the pressing of God's will that is before you. His purpose and divine plan for our lives. His purpose is pressing all around us, but no matter what, His will must be mine, and it will bring you to your knees in desperation, knowing He is the only one who can get you through this. This is the place where God sends His angels to strengthen you. This is the place of passionate prayer, where your need can only be met by God Himself. But this is also the place of great attack, where the devil wants you to feel completely alone with the great need and condition that is pressing upon your life. His truth, you are not alone. Your weakness is being transformed, re-identified to His power on you, and it will be made perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 11, the Word of God says this, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. You are not alone. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, in wet paint, in dripping paint. I have determined that I will praise God. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When Jesus finished praying, He got up and found His disciples, those closest to Him, the ones He asked to come with Him, asleep. Point number two, people may or may not encourage you, but you can't look to them to get it done. You have to look to Jesus. Everyone is at different parts of the journey. They could not go to where Jesus was being called. He could not stay where they were, because the calling was pressing on Jesus to move forward to the cross that he gave himself up for. Why? For you, for me, for all of humanity, so that we would never be separated from his power or his love. And lastly, as we come to Jacob in the pressing, in Genesis chapter 32, it says, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him to daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and you have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called this place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" Point three, it's the pressing that makes you break through into God's presence. Pressing is for presence. In wrestling, Jacob was pressed on every side. There was a wrestle, a pressing, but pressing is for presence. And in his presence came God's blessing. Jacob called this place Peniel because this is where he saw God face to face. This pressing was an invitation to wrestle against who he had been to who he had been called to be. This was an invitation to be redirected, reorientated to who he really was and the trajectory that God had planned for his life. And the distraction of the enemy is the physical toll. That's the distraction that the enemy wants to bring in this space, that it's too physical, it's too overwhelming. Surely if this is God, how can it take such a physical toll on your life? The exertion it takes to stay in the fight. He wants you to give up because surely pursuing God should not take this much. But don't stop wrestling. Don't stop holding. Don't stop fighting. Don't stop wrestling. Hold tight and don't let go until you take possession of God's trajectory for your life. Don't let go until you see that spirit get off of your child's life. Don't stop wrestling for the blessing you know God has for your marriage. Don't stop pursuing until you see the fruition of what God has only spoken into your spirit. Don't stop wrestling until you see your condition turn. You're in the pressing of his presence, so keep going. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. This is the place you overcome." Don't stop wrestling because this is the place you overcome. This is the place of assurance and his confidence that he has your condition in his hands. So for us today, what does this mean for you and I? Psalm 23:4 says it like this: "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, I will not fear, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. If I walk through the darkest valley, I can't see, because this valley is full of shadows." It's in these valleys that the enemy wants you to fear. He wants you to be afraid. Afraid because you cannot clearly see the outcomes yet. This valley has been called the pathless desert in Jeremiah. And in Isaiah, he refers to the valley of the shadows as the dull, heavy look that grief wears. The devil wants you to get stuck and paralyzed with fear and uncertainty, but this is a lie and a trap. This valley, not the shadows, The enemy wants you to see the shadow, but this is a valley that God speaks about. It is a place of healing where grief is restored to joy. Dry deserts become living waters because God's word says when you walk through the valley, He means you're not stopping. He is taking you through to the other side of what got you in the trench of the valley. This valley is where you encounter the Holy Spirit, and the only one who can lead you through a shadow is the shepherd, and His name is Jesus. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Your rod corrects my balance when I start to fall. Your staff, like a blind man, directs my path when I start to get off course. The only shadow you need to learn to come under is under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. At the end of the valley of shadows, you'll learn that the pressing was to teach you how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pressing is for presence. Father God, your word is so anointed. There are so many trials. There are so many conditions that need healing in this place today. There are people that are right now in your trajectory of your purpose on their life, where they're in a place of not my will be done, but your will be done, God. Father, send an angel to strengthen them. Father, make us so desperate that we reach you, no matter what the crowd, no matter what the culture is speaking to us, God. Make us desperate enough to reach you so that we can touch you and come face to face with you, Jesus, and you alone. You are the only one who can meet our condition. We've tried everything else. There's nothing else left to do but to come to you, Father. The enemy is not going to throw us off course. He will come with his distractions. He will come with his obstacles. But God, it is your face that is before us. Our course is set. Our mind is fixed. And God, it is only you that we're going to reach out for. And when the wrestle comes, we're not going to stop fighting and we're not going to stop wrestling, because God, there's trajectories of life that you need to change in our family. There's a trajectories in our marriage that need to be changed with your purposes and your blessing upon it. So, Father of God, I pray, pressing is for presence. Pressing is to come face to face with you. Pressing is for your revelation, that we get your word, your healing, your spirit, your timing, and your ways. Father, bless every person in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus personally, you don't need to walk alone, because Jesus wants to walk this road of life with you. And He doesn't just lead you into nothing. He leads you into eternal life, never to be separated from His love again. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. You'll have Jesus living on the inside of you, where you can hear Him, where you can hear where He wants you to walk, where you can hear the answers to your conditions, because Jesus loves you so much that He died on a cross for you. What has He promised you this morning? Salvation, relationship, and if you believed, you'll be saved. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and if you say to me, Pastor Naomi, I have never prayed this prayer today, and I've never asked Jesus to come into my life, Father God, I'm going to ask you through this prayer. I've declared with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord, and believed in my heart that God, you raised Him from the dead. And with those words, I'm saved. Can you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I declare with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. I believe in my heart, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. And because of this, I am now saved. Father, I pray for every person that has prayed that prayer for the first time. God, you don't want them to work this journey alone. But Father God, you want to give them your word. You want to show them what it means to be in a relationship with you. And if you've prayed this prayer for the first time, we don't want to leave you alone as the church and as family. You can go to gc.org.au/first steps and it will give you the resources.